Welcome to Bellingham Technical College's Money Smarts Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Benoit, and each episode we'll talk with BTC students, staff, community professionals, and financial experts about financial literacy and wellness in order to help listeners navigate resources in the community and empower themselves financially. Today, we are here with Michelle Waltz, the Vice President of Student Services at BTC. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for asking. Thanks for having me here.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit about your position at BTC. What do you find most interesting or rewarding about your job?
So I started my job in July of 2018. So I'm recent to the position. I've been at Bellingham Technical College for about 7 years. And my position, what I really see is I support all of Student Services staff so that they can do their job to enroll students, advise students, support students, graduate students, and help them find employment. So my job is to support all of that.
Now, obviously the main goal of graduates, not just at BTC, but everywhere, is employment, getting a job that obviously makes a comfortable living for yourself and also is something that preferably you love, you enjoy. How does BTC get students ready for employment after they graduate?
So, good question. I think the majority of our students come to BTC because they are looking to train in a career. We do have some students that transfer on to four-year college and pursue further education for careers that way. But most of our students are looking to become employed in high-wage, high-demand jobs and in things that they really enjoy doing, that they have skills and abilities in. And I think we prepare them because we have amazing faculty that are from industry, work with industry, to really give them the most current skills for whatever they're training for, whether it's welding or nursing and everything in between. In addition, we have supports in Student Services. We have advisors, we have support around, you know, building a resume and how to interview. And faculty are also really expert in that area. We do a lot around internships, externships, clinicals for our healthcare field. So there's a variety of things we have in place that really help students prepare and find employment.
For students who are still taking classes and coming up on graduation, where can students go to get info about employment for after they graduate?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's important for students to start early in that process and to get their information from a variety of people. I think faculty have a lot of expertise, a lot of knowledge and connections in industry, a lot of understanding of their specific labor market. And then I also think we have great partners in the community. We work closely with WorkSource, and they can really help support employment. And then just our own career center can really help with that while you're in school. And I think also it's important for students to focus on, if they don't have current job experience, or they don't have any, for example, or maybe they have a gap in employment, there's a lot of opportunity on campus to get leadership training, whether it's being a mentor, being in student government, doing work study. So I would encourage students to really work on building their resume and their leadership skills while they are a student, because that's just going to pay off for employment.
So you mentioned WorkSource earlier. What exactly does WorkSource do, and how can it help both a prospective employee or even the employer?
That's a good question. So WorkSource is a one-stop partnership. They're statewide. Ours are located in Bellingham, and there's also a WorkSource in Skagit County and Mount Vernon. There's also one in Oak Harbor. And what they do is they provide various employment and training support for job seekers and also for employers. So they work closely with employers to support them. Customers can access them through their big website is WorkSourceWA.com, and that is a great place to job search and find support services around resume and other courses. They do classes at WorkSources that are free. Everything is free. There's a computer lab. So it's really a one-stop shop for all things employment.
So earlier you mentioned a career center. Is there an official career center on campus? And if so, where are students going to find it?
So there is not, you're not going to find a sign that says career center with an arrow, but we do offer career services out of our advising entry and support department, which is in the College Services building on campus.
So a major employment barrier for some students might be their past, maybe navigating a prior criminal conviction. How do you suggest students stay positive, productive, and focused during a job search and interview process?
Yeah, my background prior to my current position is, and prior to BTC, I worked a lot with adults in juveniles in the system, so to speak, so adjudicated youth working through the juvenile courts. And I also worked with Department of Corrections. And I have a lot of background in career advising people with conviction history. So in my experience, what I find is a lot of it is attitude. I've worked with students who literally spent 10 years in state penitentiaries with lists of felonies that they were convicted of, and they served their time and they came out, but they had the drive and the attitude and the change, and they worked very hard to train and go through school and work. So I think attitude, now how they stay positive is more complicated. I think that people have to really find what works for them, really engage in, you know, whether it's counseling or support services or training or focusing. Lots of people have lots of resources they draw on to do that. I think it's really up to the individual to find what works for them. And I don't think it's easy. I think it's really challenging. And in the end, when it comes to job searching and interviewing, you need to be ready to face the mistakes you made in the past and then move forward with an employer. Washington State does have a law that passed last June called the Fair Chance Act. And that law allows folks to have a fair chance at getting an interview, really. So companies and employers, including public entities, are no longer allowed to ask the question, do you have a history conviction, on an initial application. So once they qualify, then they can, but they're not being ruled out. So that's nice. That's a much better fair system.
But you may be asked that question in an actual interview, right?
You can be asked in an actual interview, correct. But it gets you into the interview, and a lot of times that's the hardest part. And then it's up to you in the interview to move yourself forward, you know, past the conviction.
So once you've gotten a foot in the door, and let's say you get a job interview, once you go back in for that interview, how would you address a prior conviction?
So the one student who was successful in getting a job and had a very long felony list convictions, you know, their approach was really direct and honest. I made these mistakes in the past. Here's how I've moved forward. Here's the, in his case, the drug and alcohol treatment I've been through. Here's how long I've been clean and sober. Here are the jobs I've worked towards. Here's the training I have. Here's my commitment to move forward. So just owned it. What have I done since? And here's what I'm going to continue to do. And also, you don't need to reveal a conviction necessarily unless an employer asks you, although there are cases, it's pretty specific to industry that you also don't want to hide a conviction. So if they ask you, you need to be honest. Otherwise, they could fire you if they find out otherwise.
Right. So in addition to conviction histories, there are other things such as credit checks or, let's say, social media, that sort of thing. So What are some of the other things that employers can check and that any prospective employee should be mindful of?
Yeah. So I think that pulling a credit report is becoming more and more common for different employers. And the nice thing that we've been doing on campus here during the spring, during our career fairs, is we also offer a financial fair, and we have the opportunity for students to, in real time, pull their credit report with professionals from the banking community. And I would encourage people not to be afraid of their credit report, because you want to, much like if you think you have a conviction history, and maybe, believe it or not, maybe you don't know what's on there, pull your own record in credit and otherwise to understand what employers might see. I think that's really important. I think a lot of people are just afraid to find out what their credit report might say. And there are plenty of resources in the community that can help you interpret and figure out next steps if you do have problems with your credit. Another one is definitely social media. I know that I have a lot of friends that not at Bellingham Technical College, but that are hiring in other employment and agencies. And I know that they immediately will check Facebook or, you know, LinkedIn is obviously the professional facing social media. That's important as well. But just be aware that people are cruising your social media to find out what kind of character they think you might be based on what you post. So it's just something to keep in mind.
Obviously, we're talking about some of the things that might get you in trouble in an interview, might jeopardize potential employment. Do you have any specific tips for pivoting an interview towards your strengths?
Yeah, I do. I think it's really important to be prepared for an interview. And there's in preparing for an interview is not just trying to memorize answers to questions you think you're going to get. It's really understanding the job you're applying for, understanding the job description, researching the company, understanding the culture of the company, and then understanding your own documents that you've submitted in detail so that when you're in an interview and you can point to specifically how your skill set, your experience fits what they're looking for, and you can make that direct correlation. I think a lot of people miss that. They're nervous, and it's okay to walk into an interview with your own documents in front of you and pull out your own resume with notes on it. I would always do that and have a notebook to take your own notes and have the job description with your own notes and highlights so that in the moment when you're nervous and they're asking a question, you can bring yourself back to focus and say, okay, that's right. I am really skilled in this, and this is how I fit this job. So that's one suggestion. I think being nervous is really natural, so I think practice is good. Mock interviews are excellent with people you know, people you don't know, in the mirror. I know that sounds crazy, but it actually works. So looking at yourself in the mirror and practicing different ways to say things, not trying to memorize an answer, because then you get more nervous when you forget it. So having done a lot of interviews or interviewed a lot of people, if people are nervous, I think most interview panels and people that are interviewing expect that. It's how you control your nerves or mitigate those nerves. So it's not so much, being nervous is fine. We all are gonna get nervous in situations. What I like to see more is how's the person handling those nerves. So being prepared helps.
How do you handle the pressure?
How do you handle the pressure, yeah.
All right. So for those who might have an employment gap on their resumes, what's the best way to address that?
Well, that's a really good question, and that can be challenging. I had an employment gap in my resume. I was a stay-at-home mom from 2006 until 2009. However, during that time, I was quite aware of that gap, and so I worked 5 hours a week as a yoga instructor, and I worked another couple hours a week at the local community college. And when that then goes on my resume, even though I was only working 5 to 7 hours a week, it looks like I was working. So that's one way, is to just be aware, whether it's, if you don't have that opportunity and you have a gap for an uncontrolled reason. So one is put some preventative things in if you know you're going to have a gap in employment, whether you're stepping out on purpose or maybe you are facing a layoff and unemployed. Can you volunteer? Can you work part-time? Can you do something that has you working, maybe in quotes, during that time? And if it's not something, a gap you can prepare for, then there's ways to build your resume again. That's why I mentioned students working on campus, leadership opportunities, work study, part-time work, even if it's working at a coffee shop. I mean, any employment and is going to show that you are back in the working world and working towards that. I think people try to cover up their gaps on resumes in lots of creative ways, but people that hire can see right through that. You might have a type of resume that it can be written that shows your skill set instead of your work history. And if somebody submits that, that's a clear sign to me, who helps people write resumes and has seen a lot, that they're trying to cover something up, which is maybe fine, but I would just encourage people also to not focus so much on the gap, but again, how they're trying to work past that. What employers want to see is that you are showing up on time, you're dedicated, you're working, you're developing skills, whether they're customer service or other, you know, and it all ties back to transferable skills, right? So if you're working a job that's not in your regular career, I mean, I was teaching yoga. It wasn't exactly an education, except there's a lot of transferable skills there. So you have to really work to identify those transferable skills. And that's where, you know, career advisors on campus or WorkSource partners can help you sit down and really draw out those transferable skills. Because a lot of times we don't understand what that means. There's a lot of transferable skills in pretty much any job you have that can move to another job.
So you mentioned WorkSource earlier. What are some other community resources that focus on employment and job readiness?
We have a lot of great resources on campus. And in addition, if you have, for example, if you have a disability, you might work with Disability Services, DVR, Department of Vocational Rehab, out of DSHS, and they focus specifically on folks that really need more support finding employment. Our local community-based organization, Opportunity Council, has a lot of support around employment. And if you're a recipient of federal food benefits, they can help support you, things like getting you interview clothes, or if you need equipment to start the job, or maybe you need gas money for the first month to stay employed before you get your paycheck. So there's a lot of support to not only find employment, but also to get and keep that employment. So I would just really encourage people to access those resources. They're there for a reason. Once you're fully employed and on your way in a career, you can always choose to give back to the community. I would always encourage students to go to our local food bank. And I know a lot of people would say, well, I don't want to take resources from somebody else. And I would say, you need them now, so use them. Down the road, when you're successfully employed as a nurse and making $28 an hour, you can give back to the community. So I'd encourage people to just find out what the resources are. You can ask pretty much in any student services department on campus, and they're going to be able to direct you to the ones that will work for the specific student and their needs.
All right. Is there anything else you wanted to add about the topic of employment?
Well, I think it's really the most important thing about employment is that people ultimately are trying to find work that they really love doing. And there's employment to pay the bills, and then there's a career that you get excited to get up and go to work for. And they're different, and we're not always going to have the latter. A lot of times we just have to have a job to pay the rent. But I'd really encourage people to seek out what it is going to get them excited to get out of bed and go to work every day. Maybe not every day. Okay. 4 out of 5 days of the week. But I think that's important. It's important to me, and it's important. It's why I love working here and supporting the work of the college, because that's what we're doing. We're trying to prepare people for a job that they're going to really love and is going to really give them a solid financial footing as well as a career they're going to enjoy.
Awesome. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for being here. And
thank you.
I think we all learned a lot.
It was fun.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the BTC Money Smarts podcast. Be sure to check out all our episodes on the BTC website. They're loaded with stories, tips, tricks, and strategies for financial literacy. This podcast is produced by Cheryl Kennedy with music courtesy of bensound.com. I'm Matt Benoit. We'll see you next time.